I'd like to call the full board of Chicago State University to order.
Trustee Tolliver?
Here.
Trustee Hill?
Here.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Here.
Trustee Rozier?
Here.
Trustee Scott?
Here.
Trustee James?
Here.
Trustee Finney?
Here. Verification of meeting notice?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the meeting notice requirement has been met.
We now have the next item, previous meeting minutes.
I move that we approve the previous minute.
It has been moved.
Second.
Properly moved and second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
The motion passes. We now have the President's report. Dr. Watson?
There's no, the report was as stands in the book.
Okay.
And in the interest of time, why don't we just go ahead and move it on?
Okay. So there, I gather, Mr. President, there are no matters of material that call for a resolution on your report. Am I correct?
No.
Okay. Then that brings us to the next order of business, and that would be academic affairs.
Well, the Academic and Student Affairs Committee met this morning, and there are two action items coming out of it. One is a motion to approve tenure for Dr. Sarah Austin and Dr. John Agata. And I would therefore move that tenure be conferred on these individuals as the committee recommends.
It has been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
The committee also considered the request of the administration to confer the status of Dean Emeritus upon Dr. David Slatkin, who is the person who got the College of Pharmacy off the ground. So I'm pleased to recommend approval of the Dean Emeritus status for him and to move approval.
You want to speak to that, Dr. Westbrook, or you want to let it go? Okay. You've heard the recommendation from the Academic Affairs, Dr. Slatkin. Chair will entertain the motion. It has been moved, right?
Yes, I moved.
All right, second?
Second.
It's been properly moved and second. Would you want to come forward here?
Dr. Slatkin?
I would have been looking at you when I was saying that, had I known you were hiding back there.
Doctor, we want to just sort of step in front, center, and right there. That's fine. And we're gonna ask the our assistant there to read this resolution. Want to read it?
Oh.
Well, if they can't find it, I'll read it.
There you go.
Whereas the Chicago State University Board of Trustees, the board regulations establish criteria for emeritus standing in Article 2, Employee Practice Section 9, Teaching and Faculty Related Issues, Policy 9.1, Emeritus Faculty Issue, February 1, 2001. Whereas the board is authorized to confer emeritus status to outstanding faculty for their distinguished service to the university. Whereas the board received the recommendation from the Academic and Student Affairs and Legislative Committee recommending that the candidate indicated below meet the criteria for Dean Emeritus status. Dr. David Slatkin, Professor of Pharmacy, Dean College of Pharmacy, retired December 31, 2009. Whereas the board reviewed the report and recommendations, therefore be it resolved that the board hereby confers the status of Dean Emeritus upon Dr. David Slatkin. Now, what we're going to do, Dr. Slatkin, is vote.
Mr. Chairman, may I say something before the board votes on this gentleman?
Yes.
You know, it is rare in an educator's lifetime that one can see a dream become a reality. You have been blessed to take a concept, to take a dream, and within a period of time at Chicago State University, make it a reality not only for yourself, but for future generations. I have known thousands of educators who have never been blessed to take a dream and make it a reality. Sir, I want to thank you on behalf of Chicago State, on behalf of the students, and on behalf of all educators who 95% wish they could stand in your shoes and say they have accomplished what you have. Thank you.
Trustee Hill?
Enthusiastic yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes, and let me just, on behalf of the board, just commend you again for joining with the president in making this very small token for our appreciation for all of the hard work you put forth. We now have a School of Pharmacology, and that's wonderful, and it is largely due to your effort and your leadership among the other professionals that we now have on our faculty administration. Okay? Announced, we now can say that degree.
Two more votes.
I'm sorry. I thought I was last.
Trustee Rozier. Oh. Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Yes and yes.
All right. You want to say something?
I'm greatly honored. I watched the
Academy Awards,
and I'm not going to be as well spoken as some of the people up there. But this was not an individual effort, of course. It was a real team effort across the campus, not just the people we brought on board for the College of Pharmacy, but academic affairs, financial affairs. Every part of this campus played a role, and every part of the campus was supportive in doing it. I'm just sorry that my health made it necessary for me to, sounds like my phone, but it's, I put mine on silent. I will be around though, because we want to make sure we get this thing fully accredited in the spring of 2012. So I'm not gone, I'm here 2 days a week. The rest of the days are going to all be like Saturdays. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So order.
I just have one more thing I want to mention very quickly, which is the Higher Learning Commission accreditation focused visit is coming up towards the end of the month. This is an opportunity for the university to show off the tremendous strides that have been made over the last several years in leadership and enrollment, retention, and I think that I think it'll be very exciting, and I would urge all the board members to make sure you're engaged with them as much as you can during the time that they're here.
Okay, well, I think that we have concluded that report. I don't believe that there's anything else
that we need to vote on. Report.
So we'll now move to the Finance and Audit Report. Chairman Scott.
Thank you, Chair. We'd like to, there were a number of items on the agenda this morning, and I'll go through them one by one. We started with a recommendation from our internal auditor regarding the modifying the auditor's charter to conform to international or global standards. And he presented a resolution, and that was approved by the committee. And I present that for approval by the full board. Should I go one by one, or?
I think we voted on them all, so.
We voted on all of those action items.
Just go right on.
Okay, we voted and approved on an anti-fraud policy that was also presented by our internal auditor. We voted to approve the UPass system for our students, which will be a significant benefit. We voted to increase tuition for the next academic year by 8%. We voted on and approved a marketing communication services plan vendor in a contract that was the price that was noted during our committee meeting. Then we addressed several grant resolutions that were described by designated part of the academic institution. That's 6 A, B, and C. Then we voted to approve a new vendor for library services because of a business change. We voted to and heard comments regarding the data storage issue in the university, and that was resolved.
Okay, you've heard all of those matters that have been approved and recommended by the Finance and Audit Committee. What is your pleasure?
Is there been a motion?
Yes, it's been moved.
Yes, I'm ready for a motion.
For all of them?
Yes.
Okay, I'll second.
Been properly moved and second.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. Thank you very much. That then brings us to facilities. Trustee Rozier, Chairman.
Thank you. Facilities Committee met this morning. There were two action items. The first was voted on and approved. That was language change for capital improvements. We wanted to change legislative language to the House bill that was for funds that were allocated. We want to reallocate and redefine the scope of those allocations to go to different capital development projects. I ask for approval of the full board.
Is there a motion? Make a move.
Yes.
Move it? Yes. It has been moved.
A second.
And second.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes.
And then the second action item was the market study. Should I reread, Patrick?
No. No, I don't think it's necessary to reread.
No, it's not.
No? Okay. Mm-hmm. We did just make slight changes to it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Facilities Committee did vote and approve the engagement of a firm to do a market study to possibly add residential housing of approximately 1,000 beds. I'd ask for approval from the full board. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been properly moved.
Trustee Tolliver?
Yes.
Trustee Hill?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee James?
Yes.
Trustee Finney?
Yes. That brings us to the Legislative and Personnel Subcommittee. Trustee Butler.
Well, we just had that committee. There were no action items to vote on. We did receive reports from Dr. Williams and Dr. Mitchell, so there's no okay. action items at this time.
All right, Civil Service Merit Board is a report.
Yes, the Civil Service Merit Board has been meeting and devoting a great deal of time to revising a new furlough rule, since that seems to be impacting potentially all of our state universities. And a revised rule to their current policy was proposed to the Joint JCAR, the Joint Council on Administrative Rules, but there was, for a second hearing, but the proposal met with some significant objection, most specifically surrounding the implications on the collective bargaining process and union-represented civil service employees. So everything is on hold, they're going back to the drawing boards, but that is the major issue before the Civil Service Merit Board, which will impact Chicago State too, once they revise their rules on how universities can in fact implement furlough programs. That's all.
Okay, so there's no action item on that?
No.
Okay. Foundation trustee Rozier?
No action items, but the foundation board did meet February 18th. I was at that meeting with President Watson, as well as Glenn Meeks and C. Cole Dillon. Meeting was pretty straightforward. Only three things I would add that came out of it. The first was there was an appointment of a new board member, Dana London, who is a Chicago State alumni, which I thought was great to have some more CSU horsepower on that board. The other was President Watson did give his update on the university. The only thing the foundation board pressed on for more information was how the School of Pharmacy was doing, which is great. Obviously, we've got a lot of good news there. So President Watson touched on some statistics as far as, I think it was approximately 800 applicants for 70 spots, which makes it one of the best pharmacy schools locally. And truthfully, we're getting to the point where it's going to be national. So I thought that was another great thing that came out of that. And lastly, the foundation did make some funds available for operations, not capital, but operations if we so needed. So we may take them up on that at some point. Not sure of the dollar amount. They do have a limit, but they did want to make the point that they'd make it available. That was it.
Okay, thank you very much. Student trustee report.
All the contents of this report is comprised of information gathered through many meetings with the student body and with the Student Government Association of Chicago State University. The first item is customer service. This year, there's been a major effort to improve customer service. However, issues are still arising within our front-end service providers, and we need to change our approach to ensure better customer service. We should be applying training models developed by industry leaders and customer service for years, like Best Buy, who have dominated the electronics industry for many years as a result of their customer service strategy. Also, it is important that we make a clear commitment to the expansion of hybrid and online courses to address the real concerns of overcrowded classrooms. I have four classes that accommodate 30 or more students, and during testing time, there simply are not enough desks or adequate classroom spaces available for the students to be assessed. The next item is Chicago State's image. CSU is known by people in three ways: either for what it hasn't done right, for what is seen in the media, or from a family member or friend that has attended CSU. The importance of CSU becoming more involved with understanding the needs of the students and providing excellent customer service is key in hopes of creating an environment or culture that is positive. Chicago State has a rich history that hasn't been well publicized, a history that includes being a provider of higher education degrees to thousands of minorities. Chicago State could become a champion of the people to whom it educates and those who live within its communities. One way to do so is through fighting for funding equity within higher education and investing within the community by providing prep or charter schools and recreation programs for people between 15 to 22 years of age. Beyond that, at least the topic of image leads to the last item, which is a serving of this letter. This is an official document drafted by the Student Government Association of Chicago State. Chicago State University has seen a fairly large amount of change over the last 3 years. We've seen our university embarrassed in the media over issues such as Chicago State's poor financial management, lack of leadership, poor graduation retention and enrollment rates. We have also seen the transition of 3 presidents. The students at Chicago State University are entitled to a university that they can be proud of and leadership that is above reproach. Therefore, as the student governing body of Chicago State University, we are calling for the immediate resignation of Reverend Dr. Leon Finney. This is warranted due to the damage done to the reputation of this institution under his tenure as chairman of the Chicago State's Board of Trustees. Reverend Dr. Leon Finney is being investigated for being a slumlord within the black communities to which we serve at this institution. This calls for his removal from the city. This has led to calls for his removal from the city and state boards and commissions are extensive and are simply echoed by the Student Government Association of Chicago State University. Sincerely, the Student Government Association 2009-2010 of Chicago State University, including President Raven Curley, Vice President Roderica Ballard, Treasurer Roderica Ballard, Speaker of the Senate Raymond Morris Jr., IBHE Dominique Westmoreland, and the Board of Trustees Representative LaVon James.
Next item on the agenda is to recess in executive session.
I move that we recess into executive session to discuss employment matters, legal matters, and collective bargaining matters.
Second.
We probably move to second. Roll call.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler.
Yes.
Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Finney.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Right. 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 Because you still got a bill. People aren't staying.
Yeah, we do.
You still got a bill.
Yeah, I got to work last week. Hey, how's it going?
But if I'm sitting here all day, obviously.
Come on.
One second.
All righty. Mr. Chairman, I move that the board approve the settlement of the Siemens litigation.
It's been moved. Is there a second? Been properly moved to second. Roll call.
Yeah, Trustee Finney.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Trustee Hill.
Yes.
Trustee Tolliver.
Yes.
Trustee James.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Abstain.
Trustee Morrison Butler.
Yes.
We are now at a point of open public comment, public and employee comment.
Hi, I'm Renee Jones, Renee Mitchell, Director of Community Services. That's right, I forgot my name. I wanted to respond to Trustee James's request around customer service. Currently, the Office of Human Resources has begun customer service training with all of our frontline staff. This week, they will all receive, and this is over 100 employees, will receive an email that will link them to our customer service training.
We'd like to have every, because of the lateness of the hour, and we may lose even more board members, we'd like to have you confine your remarks to 2 minutes, please.
Okay. So it will be a blended course that would include 12 modules that will focus on customer service and basically understanding the student's experience so that they can then react to it. It will be a blended course where we would then have a facilitated session to make sure the individuals actually took the training and understood what was presented.
And will this translate to your, in the future, to your student workers as well, or is that already included?
It will translate to our student workers. It is not including student workers right now.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Dominique Westmoreland. I'm a political science major. I'm a senior here. I'm the IBHE representative for Student Government Association, and I'm the president of SWAT. I have a few comments. My first one, I would like to say that I think you all need to consider making Board of Trustees meetings at between the hours of 12 and 2. That way you'll have more students to come out, because the later they are, students won't show up, and the earlier they are, students will not show up. And I just have a few things. The first thing is you all need to take in consideration of making the campus much safer. The police need to do more walkthroughs through the dormitory, because after the incident, I don't know if you guys know, there was a rape in the dorms. And ever since then, I can say myself don't feel as secure in the dorms as I should be, and I'm paying $6,000 to stay there. There need to be more walkthroughs every hour on the hour. I don't want walkthroughs at the beginning of a shift change. I don't want random walkthroughs. I want walkthroughs every day, all day. I need to see a police presence in the dormitory, because if I'm going to give you $6,000 of my money, I need to be feel safe where I lay my head. There needs to be more room searches. There are incidents in the dormitory where students are drinking, selling weed, and smoking weed. And majority of these people that does this, they are athletes, and they are not being penalized for it. I know one RA who have written them up. If they are smoking, drinking, and selling weed in a dormitory, they need to be reprimanded. Just because they're athletes and they represent Chicago State, that doesn't mean anything to me. They need to be reprimanded. Also, the incident that occurred, the gentleman was 26 years old. There is no way, shape, and form a 26-year-old man needs to be living in the dormitory with 17 and 18-year-old girls. That is unsafe. And honestly, if this wasn't a, a black girl, if it was a white girl, the matter at hand would have been taken totally differently, because her parents would have been all over this situation. And Chicago State, we already in the news for Lord knows how many things. We would have been in the news for a rape. And stuff like that should not occur on our campus.
Are you referring to the sexual assault that you mentioned at first?
Mm-hmm. It happened 2 weeks ago.
So the person...
He's no longer on campus.
But he was he was living in the dorm
himself.
He was
living in the dormitory, and he was 26 years old.
Okay, thank you.
This isn't the first rape. I've stayed in the dormitory since 04.
Well, just a point of information. You need to be careful when you characterize this as a rape.
Because sexual assault. Regardless of the fact, it shouldn't have happened in our dormitory.
Absolutely.
I'm giving you $6,000. I entrust that you all will make sure I'm safe. What I'm asking for, no. What I'm demanding is that I get police service in the dormitory every hour on the hour. If I'm going to give you $6,000, I'm paying for my education here. I demand a great education here, and I demand where I lay my head that I know that I am safe. Things like this should not occur on our campus.
Absolutely.
And you wonder why students leave. It's because our campus isn't safe. You can walk on this campus anytime, any hour, and this isn't the first incident. Last week, some guy came on our campus and said he had a gun. The rave system should have went off instantaneously. Students should have been notified to stay where you are, do not move until this situation is taken care of. But no, rave doesn't work. We invest all this money into rave and it does not work. And I have rave. I haven't gotten a notification to my phone. I got a phone call saying, oh, someone brought a gun on campus. And it's so ironic. Students were just talking about, you hear about these gun incidents and these shootings at other schools, but we may have all these problems at Chicago State, but we don't have it here. And look, someone brings a gun on our campus. We are not safe here.
A second point.
This is Kay.
Okay.
All right. This is not a time, I think, to be judicious.
All right.
It's a time for the president to respond, not
right.
you.
I agree.
This is the chief executive officer of this school, and he has to respond to her representation. All right? This is not about due process. It is about whether or not the personnel under the office of president is capable of responding to this young lady's observation. All right.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get tangled up in a law issue. This is right now a matter of the question as to whether or not this school is being properly managed to ensure the safety of its student body, in particular, the young women who are living in the dorms.
The reason I responded is both of these matters come under the jurisdiction of Office of Judicial Affairs, and that's under my jurisdiction, and these, both of these were thoroughly investigated. But I agree with you, this is, the president should probably respond.
With regards to the alleged rape and the situation that took place, there's still some litigation that is pending. And because of that, I need to be very cautious, Mr. Chairman, in terms of what I say, because things are pending on this.
All right.
And there are some potential personnel implications. So because of the litigiousness of the situation, I cannot. That's one. Two is, I have a great concern with regards to the safety of the students. I agree with you. With regards to the specifics, I cannot address, but in terms of a general way, all information we have about that situation, without dealing with the specifics, an officer being in the building on every hour would not have prevented that situation, and I cannot deal with the specifics.
Okay, regardless of the specifics.
But I do agree with you that we do need to make sure that we do have an officer in the building.
But it's known if a student sees a police officer and they know that they walk through every day, all day, stuff like that, okay, it may have not been prevented, but they know that it's a presence there. Stuff like that can be prevented. Okay. Selling drugs in our dormitory can be prevented if they know that it's gonna be an officer walking through this dormitory every hour at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock. They will be less keen to do things in that dormitory than they are now.
Dominique, I agree with you in terms of an officer being in the dorm. Whether or not it's every hour, I need to find out what the schedule is.
I stopped the officer and I asked them. They do it random walkthroughs, and they do at the top of every shift change.
So,
and that's it.
Like I said, I need to talk with the chief to find out what the schedule is. There is an officer in the dorm, but whether it's ever an hour or not, I don't know. Let me take a look at that part. Now, with regards to the selling of drugs, an athlete was just expelled, I believe, from the university because of that. So the, and once again, because it is a situation that deals with the student, I cannot deal with the specifics, but drugs were found, action was taken, and that person was an athlete and is no longer part of this university, as it has been reported to me. So an athlete was not given a pass on it.
But I know they have previously, they wrote up the athletes for it, but and no precautions was taken. But like I'm saying, if you have a presence of officers around, people are less keen to do things, especially in a dormitory. I'm just letting you know, I may be graduating in May, but my sister's still there. I have two cousins that's incoming freshmen. I'm looking out for their well-being. Truthfully, as I look at it, the school don't have a lot of money. And I'm pretty sure their parents would be more keen to take their business and their $6,000 somewhere else.
Dominique, you and I are in agreement on this.
I will talk
with the chief to see what the schedule is and see to what extent we need to increase it. And I assure you that anything that happened prior to my coming in terms of drugs or et cetera, I don't know about, but everything that has happened with regards since I've been here, individuals have been appropriately addressed and have been expelled or put on suspension since I've been here.
Mr. President, can I ask this? And thank you so much, young lady. The provost has, I think, broad history with respect to the security matters with respect as it relates to the school. I would hope that the provost and the president, as well as legal counsel, immediately meet with the student representatives is here. I gather that you might want to be in on the meeting as well, Trustee James, but this matter needs to be handled, I think, in a way that protects the rights and interests of the students as well as the civil rights of all who have been accused. Mm-hmm. And trust me, I think that this board will expect a complete and thorough report on this,
yes,
and what the remediation will be going forward. Okay? And thank you so much.
Thank you, Dominique.
Philip Beverly, History, Philosophy, Political Science. Saturday was senior day for our basketball teams. Our last home game before going off to the Great West Tournament this weekend. Our ladies team has number 3 seed, which might get us into the finals for a conference championship, which is a beautiful thing. I was a little disappointed that the athletics director wasn't there for senior day. And I'm glad to see that he recovered from, I guess, illness on his attendance. This is a team that's a former player, probably the first one from Chicago State to get a professional contract, is now playing in Europe. Jasmine Dixon, our all-time leading scorer on the women's team, has got a professional contract and is now in Bosnia, of all places, playing professionally. So we have definite success stories around athletics. I know you questioned the efficacy of athletics, Trustee Hill, this morning. Also a little disappointed around their preparation, because they aren't able to use the floor in the Convocation Center because the floor's not down. So they're having to use sort of inferior facilities over in the JDC. I hope we can get that rectified. Retention's been talked about a lot, and I hope everybody's sort of on the same page that that exists at sort of two levels. One is the internal thing that we want to retain all of our students, and then the external, which is we're really, really only concerned about first-time, full-time freshmen, which make up about 5% of our enrollment. That is what we are getting measured on, that 400 to 500 students per fall that will enroll at the university. So all of our retention efforts should have some direction toward that group, since that's what the Department of Education demands of us, and hopefully we'll have some spillover effect. To that end, I don't know if the university has considered enlisting the aid of its lobbyist in DC to lobby the Department of Education on our behalf and schools like us to change the rules around how our retention and graduation rates are computed. Because we are not a University of Michigan or Illinois or Harvard or all those other traditional universities. And we're really getting hamstrung. And the newspaper reports of our retention and graduation rates are really unfair because they're not nuanced. And if we don't step up and say, well, yeah, but we're playing under some rules that don't apply to us and we don't say anything, shame on us for not showing some leadership and taking care of ourselves. Third, I had a great deal of sadness. I have a student who uses a wheelchair who was unable to come to class for a week because the building that I teach class in's elevator was out of service for a week. And I was very heartened to see that we have an elevator repair process in place. But it begged the bigger question about our overall ADA compliance. And I'm hoping that we are as ADA compliant as we can be, because it would be a tragedy for any person, faculty, staff, student, to go to the Office of Civil Rights at DOJ and say, they got some ADA issues at CSU, maybe you ought to go take a look. So I'm hoping we'll really work towards some ADA compliance. And I'll just give you the final I'm banging on warning here about my emergency preparedness, emergency management spiel. For those of you who don't know, University of Alabama at Huntsville had a tragedy recently when a faculty member in a departmental meeting killed 3 of her colleagues and wounded 4 others. Bad things happen at universities, contrary to our belief that they won't. And the universities that respond well, and in this state, the exemplar is actually Northern. Northern Illinois has an exemplary record. 12 dead at their last shooting notwithstanding, their response to that event was exemplary. When the FBI showed up on scene, you expect the FEB to sort of take over. They said, oh, it looks like you've got it in hand, because the university had prepared for that event in a way that mitigated against sort of further tragedy. We haven't done that. And I was heartened to hear this morning, Mr. President, that there's gonna be some completion of ICS 100, ICS 200 for PEC members and that. And I would give you this piece as one who's been fairly involved in the emergency management process. It's not the people at your level that really need that training, except for NIMS compliance, which is important. It's the people that'll be further on down the chain who should be managing your incidents when they occur. Mm-hmm. that's my bigger concern. Because quite frankly, none of you should be managing any incidents. You have to manage the rest of the university and let some other trained people at lower levels do their thing. And I haven't heard or seen anything around that. And I tell you, the clock is ticking on us before we make somebody dead that we didn't have to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Mike Mimna, Professor of Chemistry, Department of Chemistry and Physics. I just wanted to bring to the board's attention a significant faculty concern with regard to one of your new board regulations, specifically the one that requires the board to approve any contract greater than $250,000 received by a faculty member at the university. Our concern is, depending upon the timing of the award notice and when the board meets, we could lose as much as 2 or 3 months of time before we can actually begin our program, which could then in turn jeopardize our ability to get renewal of that particular grant or contract. So my question is twofold. First of all, what is the problem that that policy was meant to address? And secondly, is there some better way that we can attempt to address that problem, whatever it is?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yes, we are.
I have two questions. Well, one is a question, and the next one is a comment on behalf of the student body. The first question is, and I will get some background information as to where I'm at with that. Over the past couple months, starting back probably August, September, myself and other students that are on our organizations or just regular students on this campus have sat around with administration to come up with ways of funding dollars and have seen efforts, tremendous efforts by all aspects, as in how they're going to bring certain changes, effective changes to our university. We all know that, you know, in other universities that are looked at in more elite ways than Chicago State, the board also brings in funding for us. I just wanted to know, is there any strategic plans or any, you know, sit down plans that you all have as board members that will be helpful to also bring in dollars, you know, because we don't get to see that as much and you all don't get to see it us as much as, you know, we get to see each other. But is there anything, any efforts that you all are working on to actually also bring in some type of positive feedback to the university as far as funding? Because you all have other connections as well as another perspective than what we have so far. That's the first part. I don't know if anyone wants to address that before.
Let me just do the best I can. We've just retained a marketing firm to help us figure out how we're going to present the organization and or the university to the general public. And my sense is that it would be helpful, and I'm sure Trustee James will be in meetings with that firm, and I'm sure that because if he's going to be there, you and or other student representatives will be invited to participate so that your ideas and or interests will be taken into account as we come forth with an overall, as Trustee Butler would say, 360 marketing plan.
Okay, and then my comment is, I'm not sure if you all are aware, but it is a university effort on March 24th from 10 to 12 to do a cleanup day on campus. And on behalf of the student body, I'm actually inviting each member or any type of help that you all have to come and actually, you know, chime in to give us some type of positive press. That would be something good to do. And then you all can actually work with the student body to see, you know, what it is that we do and to help beautify our campus. And again, that's March 24th through 10 through 12. And Ms. Carrillo can be contacted in order to, like, just solidify how many members we'll have coming in. So just wanted to share that information.
Thank you very much.
Is that a Wednesday?
Yes, it is.
Sir.
No, it's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Are we?
We meet on Tuesday.
Yeah, because that was.
I think you should refer.
Chairman.
Some committee will come back.
Chairman, just one question before, and I know we're all eager to get out of here, but the gentleman put two questions before us. Do we have a process for how we want to engage his questions or answer them at some later point? I mean, because we heard him, but I didn't And I don't think...
My sense is that it is and or was in the purview of the provost and the president, not the board.
Okay.
We're not day-to-day operators here.
Okay.
It's up to them to figure out how to address Mr. Beverly's or Dr. Beverly's comment, so...
Okay, so...
We're talking about...
Oh!
$250,000 grant issue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was very specifically related to a new board regulation that says that any
It's not a new regulation.
Okay, that a faculty contract has to come before the board.
That's not a new provision. That's an old provision.
Okay.
Yes. Anything, and I have the former chair, but board chair, right here to my left, any contract that exceeds $250,000 must come before the board. And the president has the...
In the past, there were some interpretations of that under which the board did not actually have an opportunity to see all those contracts.
The prior policy was for contracts of $250,000 that we let out to other vendors. The new policy is with regard to contracts that are awarded to us from federal agencies. You had a number of them on today's agenda.
Yes.
That were...
We did.
Contracts that were awarded to Chicago State.
I think the board's intention was always that any contract that we enter into, whether it causes an obligation on us to do something in exchange for that award, or whether we are contracting for services that would cause that we would review those. Because in each case, we have a fiduciary responsibility.
Exactly.
That is...
Are we talking about grants or contracts, though? Because a grant is not exactly a contract.
Of course it is.
There is an expectation that something's going to happen in exchange for the grant.
Absolutely.
I think, Betsy, his concern was, and it seems as if it was a legitimate concern, was around the process. If we only meet on a certain schedule, does that slow them down? And therefore, does it slow down their ability to access those awarded dollars?
Yes.
I'm not suggesting that we want to handle this tonight. I just felt like he deserved to know how we did intend to discuss it at some later date.
It needs to be referred to a committee, but if a grant is submitted, perhaps at the time the grant is submitted, then the board should be apprised of it and approve, you know, tentative authorization
of the grant.
That would be fine with
us, so that once it's received, we can start it.
Exactly.
I would have no problem.
But the board does have that fiduciary responsibility even for a grant, because if it gets misspent, it's the institution that's liable, not the person who wrote the grant. They may go to jail, but ultimately it's the institution.
Well, that would be true, I hesitate to say, of any size contract, regardless of the amount.
So therefore, the board must have some say at some point. I'm just saying, perhaps to address your issue, it could be at the point the grant is submitted.
Certainly making the board aware of it.
Yes.
I would also contend that when the president of the university signs the application for that grant, which he has to do, that in signing that application, he is inherently agreeing to accept the money should it be awarded to us and to attempt to carry out the project as described in the proposal. I presume that's one of the reasons that the president reviews these things before they are leaving campus. Now, if the board wants to have an additional informational level, I have no problem with that. But I would hate for us to receive a grant from the Department of Defense or NSF or NIH only to have the board decide for whatever reason that no, we shouldn't do this and have to turn down the money after we've already said we want to do this and we agree to do it for the amount of money you're giving us.
Let me interject, because I think we're in a little time pressure. Seems to me two things. Number one, the Office of the President is the one, I think, that discharges the primary responsibility for making sure that we get our grants in the queue. We have that's on the federal, state, and what have you. In the event that it rarely does any recommendation come before this board for approval that has not first been vetted by the Office of President. And so my sense is that it is incumbent upon the Office of President and General Counsel to make sure that all of the grants, contracts, whatever you want to call them, are properly vetted as well as presented to the Board of Trustees, should that need to be. Some matters do not come before the board at all. And so my sense is, whether it's federal, state grant, or private grants and contracts, they must be
adhere to whatever the procurement laws are and/or the approval laws are, regulations. And we've got a provost that has great experience with this. We've got an office of procurement that has great experience in this whole area. So my sense is that the belts and whistles and/or the belts and suspenders are in place, especially since we have now council is in-house and a president here. I think they can help us. Once it gets to the board of directors, it seems to me that much of the work to make sure that the concern that you have has already been done. And should the process break down at the office of president, then I think that we got a big problem. And so, then that's when the board gets invited into the whole matter.
So the whole issue is timing then.
Yes.
Do we need the board's approval before we can initiate the work?
I don't think so.
That would be,
I want to say that it's the president, that's the gatekeeper, and it's his office. And he delegates much of this to the provost. And so if we're working with the provost and the president, we shouldn't have any problems where we're losing money. If we're not, then if we fail to do that, then we put the board of directors, the board of trustees, in the position of being in operational management, which I don't think that we need to do.
Okay,
thank you so much. The chairman, the chair is looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
It's been
second.
Moved. Roll call. Do we need one?
Jesse,
yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Jesse James.
Yes.
Yes.
Morgan Butler. Jesse Scott.
Yes.
Jesse Hill.
Yes.
Jesse Finney.
Yes.
All right. So I'll confirm you tomorrow.